Live from the studios of Jay Wolf Productions, metal maniacs around the globe unite. Prepare for Metal Mayhem ROC. This is the show where you, a metal musician, a metal maniac, or a new fan of the genre, can be interactive and participate in the show. Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Metal Mayhem ROC. I'm your host, John the Vernomatic Verno, and today we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Metal Mayhem podcast by going back into the vaults and playing a cool interview that we did with the band Last in Line. My partner in metal crime, Metal Forever Mark, can't join us today as he's on assignment down in the metal vaults putting together material for this week's podcast. So I'm flying solo. I put together some cool clips, have some songs in there, some cool tunes, and overall debauchery from the band. So let's get right into it. Metal Mayhem, ROC, Anniversary Edition, Last in Line. In the studio tonight, we have the guys from Last in Line. Guys, welcome to Upstate New York.
How you doing?
Thank you.
From my left to right, we have Vinny Appice on drums, Vivian Campbell on lead guitar, Phil Susan on bass, and Andrew Freeman on killer lead vocals. Again, thank you for coming up north, guys.
Hey.
We're going to cover a few things, the history of the band, some individual achievements throughout your careers. It's a collective group that we're interested in. And we're going to have some fun with some special segments we have on our podcast that, you know, we like to have fun with. So that being said, I'm going to pass it over to Mark. He's going to introduce himself.
Hey, guys. Welcome. So we met you guys in Buffalo, and we really appreciate that opportunity to come say hi backstage. And Vernomatic and I were talking, because we did a show 2 days after, how blown away we were by just the performance, the sound of the band, everything. So the first question we had, I guess, when you decided to form Last in Line, I know we're missing one of the original members, but what style of music did you set out to kind of play? Or did that just kind of flow artistically as you all got together and started banging out riffs and tunes?
Well, we all started, you know, just jamming Dio songs. Yeah. And it all grew out. It wasn't even really forming a band. It just kind of happened by accident. You know, we just wanted to play. And with Jimmy Bean and Vinny and myself, and we just went into a rehearsal room and we're jamming some of the songs we wrote and recorded with Ronnie back in the 80s. And it was Vinny who suggested we have Andrew come in and sing.
Don't forget that.
Is that a good thing or not?
Oh, I don't forget it, Joe.
was it the fact that Ronnie had passed and you're like, hey, maybe you reconnected a little more? Because
you know, for me personally, there were a lot of reasons. I just finished doing a brief tour with Thin Lizzy as a stunt guitar player, and that Lizzy were my band when I was in my formative guitar years as a teenager. You know, yeah. I could play all the Lizzy records. I knew all the licks.
Oh, and sure.
So they were very influential to me, and just to be on stage with Scott Gorman, Brian Downey, and playing the songs of my youth, kind of just, I got really excited about wanting to play that kind of guitar again, and I called up Vinny and Jimmy and said, let's go in the rehearsal room to play. So we had no agenda other than that. And then when Andy came in and started singing, then I thought, well, this sounds really interesting, because when Jimmy and Vinny and I played, it was the sound of of the early Dio band, because we were the early Dio band. So, and it's nothing that we tried to force. It was just, it had been like 27 years, I think, since we had played together. We walked in, and as soon as we started playing, it was just, it could have been 27 minutes. I mean, the chemistry of the band was was still very much intact. And so Vinny suggested, well, I know this asshole Andy. I mean, this guy. Andy.
No, I said asshole.
You did say asshole.
Okay. There it is.
There it is, yeah. How long did that take, Andrew?
Not very long.
Yeah, I know. So Andrew came in and started singing, and you know, is a really ballsy singer, like a very, very powerful singer, like Ronnie was, but with a totally different tonality. I mean, Ronnie was a unique voice. So I just thought it was interesting that you had the sound of the original Dio band and a singer who could take it somewhere else and do it in a different way. So I suggested we go out and do some shows. And then perhaps, you know, if Ronnie hadn't passed away the year prior to all this, I don't think I would have wanted to do that. It just would have been a little bit strange. Yeah. So the fact that Ronnie had passed away and that the Dio band no longer existed anymore, it kind of, I thought, kind of made it all right to do that, you know. And I didn't give any thought to the name. I just suggested, you know, Ronnie's gone, and Jimmy and Vinny and I were the last in line, and obviously it's the name of the second album we did. So if I'd known it was actually going to become a real band, I don't think I would have named it Last in Line. You know, because there is some baggage that goes with that, you know. But anyway, having said that, to get back to your original question, I mean, we had no agenda to make original music, and we were doing shows on the West Coast where we all live. We got offered a chance to go play in Europe. We did that. We got offered a show in Japan. We did that. And so we started to grow, and there was a bit more demand for it. And then we were asked by Frontiers Records if we'd be interested in writing and recording new music. Wow. Up to that was about 2014. We'd already kind of been doing it casually for two or three years of that period. And it honestly wasn't on our radar to make new music.
Sure. The project grew legs.
Somebody said, hey, well, we'll put a record out if you want to do it. So we went into the studio and we just started writing the way that we did it with Ronnie back in the early 80s. We'd just go in and I'd have an idea, or Jimmy'd have an idea, or Vinny would just start playing a beat that would inspire us, and we'd come up with something, and we'd come up with a musical bed, and then, you know, the singer, be it Ronnie or Andrew, comes in and make suggestions. We'll try this here, try that there. And it all happens very organically and very quickly. And that's the method that we did with Ronnie, and that's what we've carried over into this.
How do you look at this band, Vinny, compared to other projects you've been in? Or is this your new, like, you know, love? Or are you going to keep doing other projects? How do you look at this?
Well, this is a real band. It's when we started with Holy Diver, that was a real band. We'd go in. No song was written before we went into the rehearsal room. Nobody came in with a song. It was created with everybody. And that's why Holy Diver is such a classic record. It was a real team effort, you know.
Well, expanding on that, it's sort of history repeating itself, because when the Dio band started, they didn't have a lot of material. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
So the first tour was Sabbath, Dio,
exactly,
and some fill-ins.
We had 9 songs on the Holy Diver album.
We
didn't play all of them, so, you know, we played 4 or 5 maybe, if that, I think, from Holy Diver, and then we were playing, like you say, Sabbath.
Yeah. And I've noticed with the Last in Line.
And then, you know, all the Rainbow stuff, too.
And now I noticed with the Last in Line, the first album, and now on to the second, Last in Line 2, there's more of the original Last in Line material. Yeah. So, again, it's like...
Well, we actually had a landmark show. Our last show was... the first time ever where we tipped the balance. Not the last one before, but because we had to cut the set, we were opening for Dokken.
So we
had to play a 60-minute set. So we ended up with a set by accident, not by design, that was for the first time ever I realized where we're playing more Last in Line songs as opposed to Dio songs, which is good, you know, because we are at that stage now with 2 albums where we have to kind of start, you know, finding the right balance between being faithful to the heritage that Vinny and I have from the Dio catalog, and yet taking it into the future as a new band.
You know? Well, one thing, just real quick, I talked with Vernomatic and I after the show, you know, I must admit, I went down there, wanted to hear the Dio stuff, and Vivian knowing that you wrote those 3, you know, great classic albums, and Vinny was involved, but the things that stood out for me were the Last in Line tracks, you know, and Andrew, your vocals, and actually I kind of found myself wanting to hear a few more of those songs along with the Dio stuff. So
great.
It seems like as time progresses here, you might be phasing more of the Last in Line in and maybe
you know, it would be crazy for us not to play some of the classic Dio songs. I mean, Rainbow in the Dark and Holy Diver, Last Line, whatever. Yeah. There's some really big songs that will probably forever be in our catalog, you know. But it is nice to kind of grow into that. And I personally have seen it, too. I mean, I recognize that a lot more of the audience are being very, very responsive to Last in Line music. You know, now that we're actually building a fan base, because a lot of the places we're playing, we're coming back to for a second or even a third time. You know, we've been working very hard with this band for the last few years, and I was just saying before we went on the air, you know, I'm constantly working. it's great. I mean, I'm doing it because, like the other guys, I really, really believe in it, you know, and I really enjoy it. And I also understand and appreciate that in this day and age, especially, you have to go out and manifest the live aspect of what you do. You can't put a record out and just do interviews and a couple of videos and stuff. You got to go out. You got to make it real, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to play the shows. And we're building a fan base. We're definitely, you know, seeing it work.
Edition of Metal Mayhem ROC is brought to you by Mr. V's Street Style Vending and Special Events Catering. Visit our lunch cart in the College Town District at Strong Memorial Hospital, or hit up the late night weekend location at the corner of Monroe Avenue and South Goodman. Look us up online at MrV'sVending.com for catering prices and availability. That's Mr. V's Street Style Vending and Special Events Catering. Now back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
I want to ask you this, considering you're in a unique situation where you're in the last in line doing the club tour, and in 2 weeks you may be going to that other band you play with,
and be in front of 40,000 people. How, going back to the clubs, there's obviously something you're pulling out of that that you enjoy. How, what, explain to me the difference between the two and what you like and dislike about the two.
Well, they're two very, very different bands. I mean, yeah. You know, Leopard is big production, very, very polished show. We're not spontaneous in Leopard. I mean, everything is sure. Exactly as it has to be because it is such a big production. So many people are involved in it, you know, with the lights and the video projections and whatnot. And the music is very, very vocal intense. So yeah. We're all singing a lot, like every single song. Mm-hmm. And it's a two guitar band. So, you know, and Phil does most of the heavy lifting in that band because we're still playing, you know, even though I've been with Def Leppard for 27 years now, but we're still playing the majority of the set is stuff that predates my involvement with Def Leppard, you know. It's mm-hmm. So it's just a very, very different thing. And in Last in Line, our only production is black T-shirts.
Yeah.
And so we don't have a light guy, let alone a video guy. And, you know, and we're not as vocal intensive. I mean, like Andy, I think, wants me to sing in this band, but I just, I'm resisting, you know.
Very helpful.
I just want to play, and I'm the only guitar player in Last in Line, so I have to do. I'm the only melodic instrument, so I can really bring my A game, not just as a soloist, but as a rhythm guitar player in particular. You know, I mean, it's my hands are very busy.
Okay. You know? That's a good way to put it.
So, you know, it's just a very different band, and plus we're very spontaneous in Last in Line. I mean, we can go off and just, and we've been known to do it. Frequently just go off on some jazz odyssey that Vinny drags us on.
Yeah, that's kind of an important thing to point too about these guys is that when it started as just, hey, let's play the old song, but it's impossible to get in a room with these guys and just play old songs, you know. It just doesn't happen. Even at sound checks, you know, they're noodling, there's ideas that are popping out, and people are turning recorders on their phone and stuff, so it's a very creative thing, whereas a lot of the bands from this era that get back together or are still doing and making records are not extremely creative, you know, like they'll stick to the script, you know, and I think that's why we're kind of getting the attention that we're getting and the records are doing well because, you know, it throws back, it's got a new sound, you know, and it's a very creative thing. You don't, when I walk into a rehearsal, you know, I know it's going to be a Dio sounding, you know, because they're the sound of that band. But those two guys are the sound of that band. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way around it. You can say, oh, you know, this guy who was in at this time, you know, they were the original band, that's the original band. No, these guys are the band. They did the three records. And then Vinny did, what, 80,000 of them after that? Like, he did all, you know, most of the Dio records, Vinny's the drummer on. You know?
Yeah.
So you can't say it's not going to sound like that because it's always going to, from the downbeat, it's going to have that groove, those mid-tempo grooves and stuff. But it's also becoming this new thing. So it's really unique. You know, it's hard to rest on laurels with these guys because they just won't do it. Dinner, so we get it.
Trust me, we'll keep it moving along. We had a couple more, I guess, on the serious side, and then we want to transition just a couple, I guess, fun ones, and then we can cut it. But the serious one, though, is another thing that happened when this show came up was we realized that this actually falls on the exact date of Ronnie's passing, May 16, 2010. In many ways, wow, it's almost 10 years, right?
Nine years.
So what is that? Now, anybody can answer this, I suppose, or just one or two of you. But what does that mean to you all, just knowing that it's kind of falling in that, you know, on that exact date with one of the great ones?
It is a coincidence.
Yeah.
Man. I wasn't even aware of that until a couple of days ago.
Somebody
pointed it out to me, but
I think we did. It's a Buffalo, the Buffalo show.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't aware of it either.
Sure. Yeah, so we didn't know until we were like, wow.
A couple days ago, then
we had a meeting. I'm driving home. I'm like, wait a second, because I was listening to Ed Trunk about the Ride for Ronnie thing a week or two ago.
Yeah, the Last in Line Cancer Fund. Yeah.
And I pulled over to the side of the road. I'm like, no shit. It's the day of our show, so.
Yeah, is there significance or it just kind of ties in everything you guys have been talking about, I guess?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously there's big history there with Vinny and I with Ronnie, you know, so it's
nice to be playing the music.
Yeah.
that's 30 something years old,
still stands up.
It's on that day, and you know, it just happens to be on that day, you know.
So we figured it would be appropriate to do, you know, try to do a little bit of fundraising around it. So we've got some CDs and stuff. Hopefully you guys will sign, and whatever we sell, we'll make a donation to his Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. But you know, the other thing we were talking about is you guys are almost like a little best kept secret. I know you're getting more exposure, getting more radio play, but we're like, wow, now this is like a true heavy metal all star band. All the bands you're connected to, the new music that you're putting out, the, you know, it's almost like, come on, Rochester, let's go. Yeah, you know, like come on out. Like this is. And I know tomorrow morning it would be great getting them on TV, but, you know, what do you want fans to know about, like, your band and coming to see you live? Like, what are they going to be surprised by?
One of the things I think is important is that we're very aware of what the roots are of this band, but that the band seems to be, the new material seems to be being accepted, like we were saying earlier on. I mean, there are a lot of bands, I suppose, in the last 20 years, 15 to 20 years, that I would call kind of heritage acts, where they're going out there and people want to hear the hits. They're familiar with the hits, they want to hear the hits. And they're playing new music and it's not always received. Not because there's anything wrong with it, it's just that the planets don't align sometimes. You can do everything right and put new music out there and it just doesn't resonate with people. And this is an opportunity where people do love that music, and that's something I think we hold very, we're very respectful of that, and very fortunate that new music is being received that way. And it's great when we do our shows, because not everybody splits and goes to the bathroom when we play a Last in Line show. They stick around and they want to hear that, and they know the lyrics. They call out when we do our special VIP sound checks. They call out some of the songs that are Last in Line songs, and that's I think a testament to the fact that they are accepting that song.
Do you find that a different case over in Europe as opposed to America?
No,
it's just everywhere.
It's about the same.
It seems to be about the same. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is one of those things that starts to go. You put your shoulder behind it and say, right, okay, well, this is what we're going to do.
I think if the material was shit, I think, you know, they would tell us.
Yeah.
And we would see it, you know, because I'm the guy who's reading, I'm the guy who's watching the crowd, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I see when, you know, people go to the bathroom or go for a cigarette or whatever. And it's usually during Vinny's drum solo.
That's why.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
And it's not because it's bad, it's because there's so much bottom end in it that it rattles your bowels. And, you know, everybody has to shit during it.
Sometimes
so.
I go to the bathroom. Yeah, sometimes. The drum solo.
He has a little throne, and his throne is actually a throne.
I'll just get up and leave.
Yeah, I mean, if the material was bad, we would know it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had songs in the set that didn't really work, you know, that we're like, yeah, maybe we should move it, or maybe we should try some, you know, maybe not that one, pick something else.
But see, there's not a lot of bands that people go see that go, man, you guys look like you're having fun on stage.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
We have fun on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And each show is a little bit different. We jam a lot, you know, here and there. It's we're playing for the crowd and we're playing for musicians.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
All right, quick transition into some fun stuff, and then we'll call it a wrap here. You want to start or what? Let's start with so we have a segment called. It's called the Mount Rushmore of, and what that is, you know, Mount Rushmore has the four presidents, and we pick different topics, whether it's albums, bands, concerts we've seen, whatever. So I guess we'll do a quick roundup of this. Vinny, we'll start with you. The Mount Rushmore of Dio songs, if you had to pick four.
Stand Up and Shout, Holy Diver, Last in Line.
Did you? Same one? Same question?
Well, we had to pick a set list for our
Rainbow and Dark.
Yeah, we got to pick a set list for Download.
45 minutes. Or half an hour, right?
No, 30. We got a 30-minute set. Wow. We're opening the main stage in Download on June
14th.
How many songs do you get? What's this?
Well, that's what we're thinking. We could probably only get five, and we got to keep it tight. Like
yours, Viv? Your top four? Top four Dio songs?
Rainbow in the Dark. Invisible.
Nice.
Favorite of mine.
How about Egypt?
We rock. Sure, Egypt. Why not?
Evil Eyes.
Yes, funny enough, Evil Eye is a good one.
We had some other hokey ones on.
Well, we're going to let you guys eat.
We're going to let you guys. We'll wrap it up because I know you guys want to get to dinner and we appreciate it.
Do one more hokey one.
All right, you want to know? Okay.
Yeah, one more
well,
hokey
okay,
one.
We have a segment called Metal Confessions.
All right.
We'll leave it at that. We haven't even got that deep into it. We said some stupid stuff in our day. I'll just leave it up. And who wants to give a metal confession?
I have a metal confession because it's to do with Rochester.
We never even asked any Rochester questions.
And I was just telling the guys when we were driving over here, because it just occurred to me.
PG-13
metal. I put it out of my mind. It was such a traumatic thing. I spent my 25th birthday here. I played, Whitesnake was opening for Motley Crue when the girls.
Yeah, I was there.
Tour. I was at the
War Memorial.
Memorial. And at the hotel that night, I was sitting like this, and I had Nikki Sixx on one side of me and Tommy Lee on the other, and insisting on buying me shots. Tommy would buy me a shot of Ouzo. Nikki would buy me a shot of Jack Daniels. And this is shit I don't drink. I mean, I drink beer and wine. That's it, you know. I had the next morning, I was just an unspeakable hangover, like the worst hangover ever. It's one of those hangovers where you can't quench your thirst, no matter what you do. Gallons of water and juice, and you're just like,
So did you see the dirt then? The Motley Crue?
I haven't seen the dirt.
Have you guys seen? Okay. So that shit's true, right? Most of it.
Well, I would say. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but yeah. I mean, those guys were. They were living at large, you know. I mean, I remember in Dallas they were renting Ferraris and Bentleys and stuff, and going out and doing donuts in the parking lot of the Four Seasons Hotel.
Last comments, open mic, anything we missed or you want to mention or show promotion for tomorrow? Or
Well, we're glad to be here, and we thank you guys for putting on the show. Short notice.
Yeah.
And close to somewhere else we played, and we really appreciate it. And
we won't suck.
Yeah. You promise?
We promise not to sell. We can't promise that it'll be a sold out show.
No, we really look forward to it.
We're working on that still. Show. But no, I mean, look, we were blown away. Like, genuinely. Generally. We came up here and we wanted to do a show. We hadn't done a show in a couple of weeks. And Vernomatic and I, like, we got to do a show. And everybody's like, this is shameless show promotion because we want to talk, come out, buy tickets. But we were just blown away. I mean, just the live performance, the vocals, the guitar, everything, man. The full deal. Yeah. Drums, guitar, like, the songs, and we were listening to Last Line the whole way up, and then he caught me. He's like, "Are you listening to Last Line still?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still freaking jamming it, man." So, legit. It's genuine. That's why we're doing. Like, this is not like promotion and telling me because we're kissing your ass because you're sitting here in the couches, but it's legit. It's just, you guys are a super group, man. You're an arena band in a club.
That was the quote. Right? That was the quote. You know, we do this promoting and all this as a hobby. You know, I own a business and I have kids. Mark is. Professional job and his kids, you know.
Viv's doing his band as a hobby too.
Okay. a labor of love. A labor of love.
So we can take you from the I'm Four Seasons back to the other hotel.
Yeah, wow.
Cash grab.
So,
I think the biggest thing we should probably say, last words would be, check out the new music. You know,
yeah.
The new music is, as we put a lot of, you know, work into it. And again, it is a labor of love. You know, there's not a lot of money there. And it's definitely about passion and just, you know, taking a band like this and into the future, you know?
Yeah. Well, we got your back. Building. We got your back.
And we know the alternative to this was going to a tropical island for a show. So, you know, hey, you got Rochester. The sun came out today.
Right.
Yeah, they will.
You know what? Walking in here, it didn't look like much. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, right. Oh, I know.
But you guys got a good show.
Yeah, oh, thanks, man.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, John, did you hear that?
Yeah, John, you hear that?
Give some shout out to our guy in the back here.
Oh, I mean, you guys are good at the different questions. You know, we do a lot of interviews. It's the same questions a lot of times.
Yeah, so kudos to you guys.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
It's an interesting interview together.
Yeah. Well, we research, but we're fans too, right? I mean, we love the music, right? So I think it's kind of, we met with Bobby Blitz the other day, and he kind of told us, he's like, "Yeah, you guys, you could tell you know your shit."
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very good.
Well, they told us you guys were tough, man, but, you know, opposite. You guys are awesome. And we're so excited for tomorrow. And if you sit at home and love this music,
let's get out there. So
forget all the YouTube crap and just go freaking
out.
Yeah, man.
Well, right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John, appreciate you want to take us out?
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone. Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.